Bible, there are certain texts, there are certain paragraphs, passages that stand out as being very fundamental, very basic to our understanding of God, of Jesus, the roles they played. The one we want to focus on this morning is the first five verses of John's account of the gospel. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 are profound verses. We're going to mine them this morning to find and discover some very valuable, very precious truths that are contained in those five verses. Because we're going to see that they describe who the Word is, His preexistence, His nature, as well as His creative power. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through Him, and without Him nothing was created that was created. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Profound, rich. The first thing we notice here is that the Word is called God. When the beginning began, the Word was already there. Whenever that happened, the Word already existed. So therefore, the Word was before time. The Word is eternal. In Proverbs chapter 8, we have a very interesting passage there that we're going to begin reading in verse 22 from. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22 and following. It's a very apt description of Jesus, but given in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. This is talking about the wealth of having wisdom, the need for wisdom. And in verse 22 and following, it says, "The Lord possessed me," referring to wisdom, "in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth or the fields or the first dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep. When He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment. When He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him. As one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." The Lord had wisdom. The Lord used wisdom even before the world began. The Bible tells us that the Word that John is referring to here, that the writer of Proverbs was referring to in Proverbs 8, is none other than Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. In Revelation chapter 19, this same writer, John, describes the Word. Revelation 19 will begin in verse 11. It's a very important passage that goes along with John chapter 1. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11, and following, John says, "I saw heaven opened, and there was a white horse. He who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written that no one knows but he himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. Out of His mouth proceeds a sharp sword with which He may strike the nations. He shall rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury and wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There the word is described as being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the exact same expression used to describe Jesus Christ. So there's no doubt that John is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. In John chapter 17, later on in this book, we see these words of Jesus Himself, where He talks about who He is. In John 17, beginning in verse 4, notice verses 4 and 5 of that chapter. Jesus is speaking and He says, I have glorified You on the earth. He's talking to the Heavenly Father. I have finished the work You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me in Your own presence with the glory which I had with You before the world existed. Jesus is talking to the Father saying, restore that glory that I had with You before the world existed. The Word is eternal. Jesus is eternal. The word that John uses here in the original Greek is the word logos. And it's often translated word. And in our context, we might use the word revealer. He's the revealer of God. He reveals God's thoughts, ideas, attitudes, expressions. In John chapter 1, later on in this chapter, notice verse 18. John writes, No one has seen God at any time. The only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. What did the Word do? Make the Father known. Later on, in John chapter 14, the same writer says this. These are the words of Jesus talking to Philip. Verse 9 and following in John 14. Have I been with you such a long time, and yet you have not known Me, Philip? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on My own authority, but the Father who lives in Me does the works. Jesus says, I'm speaking what the Father wants Me to speak. I'm the revealer of divinity. I'm the revealer of God. So He's called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The idea is that God and the Word were face to face. That's the closeness, face to face. An intimate relationship, a personal relationship, a fellowship, a communion. This, of course, is a reference to God the Father and God the Son. In John chapter 10, later on in John's account of the gospel, Jesus says these words in John chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus says, My Father and I are one. God the Father, God the Son, they're both equally God, but they're distinct, as is the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. But in these first five verses of John, John only talks about God the Father and God the Son, and that face-to-face, personal, intimate relationship. Jesus, the Word, who's the revealer of God, is indeed God. And from the very beginning of time, He has always existed. But John says, when He was on earth, He was the revealer of God. He showed the world what God, what the divine nature was like. So Jesus was not a created being, as some speak. He did not have a beginning. He has always been here. He is eternal. Whenever the beginning began, He was already there. profound words at the beginning of John's account of the gospel, but fundamental to one's faith. It's fundamental that people understand that Jesus is God and that He's eternal. Part of that Trinity. Verse 3 tells us the second thing about who the Word is, and that is that the Word was the Creator. Verse 3, it says, all things were created through Him, and without Him nothing was created that was created. He says what? All things were made by Him. That excludes nothing. Everything that was created, that was made by Him. In other words, the Word was the agent of creation. Paul refers to this in Colossians chapter 1. When he says in verse 16, and we'll read verse 17 later, but verse 16 of Colossians 1, Paul writes, for by Him, referring to Christ, going back to verse 13, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Everything we see that's created came from Him. We look up in the night sky, we see the stars. Jesus created them. He was the agent. All the planets, all the galaxies, all the kinds of life, plant life, animal life, human life, all made by the Creator. Back in Isaiah 44, the prophet talks about this in verse 24. It's a great verse, by the way. It's a wonderful verse. Isaiah 44, verse 24. The verse says, thus says the Lord, you Redeemer and He who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens alone, who spreads abroad the earth by Myself. What did He do? Makes all things. So not only were all of these created by Him, but it says they were created for Him. Did you notice that part? Created for the Word, created for Christ. So the world was made through Him. The writer of Hebrews emphasizes this when he begins in Hebrews chapter 1. The writer says in verse 1, God, who at various times and in diverse ways spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the world. Skip down to verse 10. You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of Your hands. Works of Your hands. Jesus is the architect, the designer, the builder. He's the Creator, John says. The one that brought us into existence and that made everything in the world. The designer, creator, architect, builder. All of those words can refer to Jesus because that's exactly what He did. And the Word keeps this world functioning. In other words, we see the planets rotating about stars and stars moving throughout galaxies, and we see plant and animal life continuing to exist and reproducing after its kind. The only reason anything like that happens is that Jesus keeps it functioning. Jesus is the one that keeps the planets moving. Jesus is the one that keeps the sun shining. Jesus is the one that made this world. Jesus is the one that keeps plant and animal life existing. It's all because of Him. He's the reason it works. going back to that second verse in Colossians that I mentioned, Colossians chapter 1, now notice the next verse, verse 17. Critically important verse. Verse 17 of Colossians 1 says, He, referring to Christ, is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He holds it together. He holds our bodies together. He's the one that keeps our bodies individually working and functioning. He holds everything together. In other words, the whole permanence of creation rests upon Him. He's the one that keeps it going. Not natural laws, not people, not anything. It's Him. He keeps everything together. He holds it all together. He makes sure it works in harmony. He makes sure our heart and our lungs are working. And He's the one that designed it. He's the one that keeps, again, the sun shining. Everything together is harmonious. And it's because He keeps it that way. This whole world, if you were just to change one or two tiny little things, would cease to exist. That's how fine-tuned our world is. Our bodies, this planet, our solar system. When you study those things, everything is so finely tuned that you just change one tiny little thing and it all collapses and is destroyed. Why is it keeping on going? Paul told the Colossians, Jesus keeps it that way. He makes it all work together in this very delicate balance. If He didn't, it would all completely fall apart instantly. The last thing we learn about Jesus from this account, the Word, is found in verses 4 and 5. In Him, Jesus, the Word, was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. All life came through the Word. Physical and spiritual life. Jesus is the one that gives us physical life. He's also the one that can give us spiritual life. He's the source, the fountain, the origin, the cause of life. It is Him. It's the Word. In John chapter 6, later on in this chapter, Jesus is talking to a multitude. In verse 35 of John chapter 6, Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst. He is the source of life. He is the source of spiritual life. There are no other sources. There's one fountain, there's one source, there's one origin, there's one cause, and it's Jesus. In other words, life cannot be found in anyone else, anywhere. It is through Jesus. He is the single source of life. And Jesus declares that He is also the light of that life. A couple chapters on back, John chapter 8. In verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. What is He telling them? Well, He says, by following Me, you become sons of light, which means you don't walk in darkness. John chapter 12. Jesus used this same type of phrase beginning in verse 35 of John chapter 12. Jesus says, yet a little while the light is with you, referring to Himself. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. And skipping down to verse 46, He says, I have come as a light into the world. Whoever believes in Me should not remain in darkness. He is the light, who is the Word. He's revealing God. He's revealing light. He's revealing what it means to walk in light because He's the only one that can. That's how we become sons of light. The Word, the heavenly light, shines in the darkness of sin, ignorance, evil, unbelief. Notice what John said in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. John says, "This is the verdict. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and has not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that it may be revealed that his deeds have been done in God." The Word, the heavenly light, reveals and brings light, reveals truth to us. Truth is light. So the truth, the Word, shines in darkness. It points out what sin is. It points out what evil is. It points out what ignorance is. It points out what unbelief is. The Word does that. The Word is light. It reveals those things to us. John says there's this basic hostility between light and darkness, between good and evil. There always has been. When Jesus came into the world, it was very pronounced, the hostility between good and evil, light and darkness. But John says the darkness, the sin, the ignorance, the unbelief, the evil, could not and cannot put out the light. It does not have the power to do that. All the darkness of hell cannot extinguish the light. John says that's what the light can do. Darkness cannot overcome it. Evil does not like the light and never has. This makes us think about what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. When he said, "The gate is wide, the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those that follow that road." Why? Because they like the darkness. John said they did. Most men like the darkness. Most men like the broad way. Most men like the way of ignorance, unbelief, and evil. So since most men like darkness, they're going to travel that road. So John says that. He said most men love the darkness. They like their sin. They don't want to give up their sin. So they don't want the light to shine on their sin. They don't want the light to point out their sin. They want to remain in darkness. These five verses are just so profound. If we want to know who the Word is, it tells us the Word was God. The words of the Creator. He's the light and life of men. Because without Jesus, the Word, we're dead, we have no life, and we're in darkness. But with Jesus, because He's the light and life of men, we can overcome sin. We can overcome evil. We can overcome ignorance. We can overcome unbelief. Only through Him. No wonder the psalmist said in Psalms 119, 105, "Your word's a lamp and a light. It illuminates my path. It shows me the way." It's amazing when you have a completely, totally dark room what lighting one little match will do. The psalmist says, follow the light. Follow the Word. It shows you the path. But most men are not going to follow that path because they don't like the light. They like the darkness. But Jesus says, if you come to me, you'll never hunger. If you come to me, you'll never thirst. That's the promise. And that's the promise we have this morning. Jesus is the Word, the revealer of God. So this morning, if there is any need that you have, we encourage you to come as we sing and stand this invitation song. Let's stand, please.